Right, so while people are taking their places, I'll just maybe recap a bit of last week. We kicked off a series last week called Redeeming the Time. And I think, the thing about time, we all get a portion of it. We do not know how much we've got. We do not know when it will end. We can plan like we've got 100 years to live, but the reality is we might not. And we've got this season here on earth which God has blessed us with, which is amazing. I'm enjoying life, sometimes less than others. it depends on what happens, but it's good to be alive. Amen. And while God is calling us to be here for this season, we'll do what He is calling us to do. Looking forward still to many years doing what God is calling us. Amen. To do. So we're gonna have fun. So redeeming the time, we started off with Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 7. It says this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." It's quite interesting that he says, it's strong willed, because if I say to you, "You fool," I might get a slap. Okay? But it's okay if God says it, it's not as fools. Walk in this life right now, not as a fool, but as a wise person, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So the reason why we need to walk as wise, why we need to redeem the time, is because God is saying this time is evil. And I think we all can look at this day and age and everything that go on and go, "Yes, Lord, we agree. Things are a bit funky. We don't like what's happening here. Yes, the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And that for me is key, is for us to understand, in order to redeem the time, in order to effectively walk on this earth, we need to understand what the will of God is for us right now. If we miss it, we will miss so much. But if we understand what God's will for us, His children, are right now, for me, for you, for us together, and we can walk in that, we will see great and mighty things accomplished right now. It's like the Israelites. They sought God's face. He spoke to them. And then they walked it out and they saw incredible stuff happening. And we read about it. How just knowing what God's will has changed everything for them. So if you are struggling with something, even if you are the person that's, battling with stuff and trusting God for victory, I can guarantee you, if you see God's face, if you understand what His will is, if you redeem the time, you will see incredible things happening in your life. In actual fact, I believe your life will have new purpose, a new sense of direction, joy. Like Cheslin said, that victory, you will walk like someone that is victorious. How does someone walk that is victorious? Come, Stian, show us. Yeah, come on, show us. What does a person look like that walks victorious? Ek wou nou net sê, maar gaan nou stil bly, né? I need someone to show me what it looks like. Actually, so sick. But there's a confidence, there's a surety, there's they're not double-minded. They know they've got the victory. Listen, if you've conquered a city and you walk into that city, you don't like, is anything going to happen? You conquered it. It's yours. You walk like you own it. How do you walk like in your own house? Verstaan jy? So we can walk in that victory. Not as fools, but as wise in this time. Now, we looked at the definition of redeem is to rescue or recover our time from waste. This is what the Barnes Concordance is the commentary. That's a word I'm looking for. The commentary says this: okay, to rescue or recover our time from waste, to improve it for great and important purpose. So I'm taking my time, I'm rescuing it, and I'm using it for some important stuff. Because that's the reality. We only have so much time. Let's not waste it. Let's use it for the important stuff. Listen, I think we all, as we can sit here, can say that at some point we feel like we've just wasted time. Okay, it's only me that does that. I understand that. But we all, I think it's safe to say that at some point you go like, man, that was no Tate Moore. You know, I've watched one or two movies in my life that I think, man, I'll never get that 2 hours back. Huh? You remember that movie that had how many, what do you mean, Oscar awards and so we got this highly, you know, please watch this movie, it's amazing. And Lorette and I went and we took it out and we watched. This is in the days where you still rented a DVD, not online. And we sat watching this thing and we watched and we watched and we watched. It was the longest movie of my life, and it ended in this absolute pointless ending. And we were like, you know, normally the guy gets the girl. I can't remember what the movie. And here he gets in the car and he leaves. And then the stuff comes, the credits come up, and I'm going like, so did he get the girl or not? Did he jump out? What's happening? I'm like, ah! In any case, all right, so let's not go through life in that way that feel like, what's the point of this? I missed something, you know? There's purpose. God is calling us to do some amazing stuff. I'm so glad he's the one that's making this movie, because God is awesome. Amen. Amen. All right, so we looked at the first two things in order to redeem your time. We said, firstly, start with the Word. Start with Jesus. We see Jesus making lots of time, deliberate time with his Father. He's pursuing his dad. He wants to hear what his Father is saying. Okay? He prioritized that time. Even sometimes praying right through the night, spending time with his Father right through the night. So in order for us to redeem the time, we need to prioritize our time with him. May God get the first portion of our time, not the leftover. You know, we talk about tithes and offerings when we speak about money, but I believe it's true for our time as well. Sometimes just give God the first tenth, not what's left over. And that's the challenge with doing it at night, because you've had this day. Your boss came to work and messed up a perfectly good day. It would have been awesome if he stayed home. Nah? Well, life just happens. And you get to the end, you're like, Yere, help. It's, yeah. Tithe the first tenth of your time to the Lord. You know, sometimes getting up is not so easy for some of us. Like my son. His system takes about 2 hours to boot. And then we're at 10% capacity. Around 10, we maybe at about 50. But we love him like that. Okay, so maybe you that person, and may the Lord bless you as you try and tithe your first tenth of your time to the Lord. Right, then the second one is, let your yes be yes and your no be your no. If you say yes to something, make sure that you can do it. And when you say no to something, make sure that you do it in a way that honors God. All right, that you're not just this harsh person that like, nee, nee, nee. I just need listening. I'm not just. Okay, so just be nice and trust God to shape your day. You see, what we said last week is that we say yes to too many things, and we've got this endless to-do list of stuff we've said yes to, and our brain freaks out trying to get through this all, and we simply don't have enough time in the day to do everything we've said yes to, and then we wonder why we get demotivated. Why we wake up in the morning, we feel like, geez, I'm not sure I'm going to get through this day. Because you've got this list of yeses, right? So take those yeses, write them down, start doing them. And say no until you've dealt with some yeses so that you can move on. Now, as we continue this morning, C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Now, I haven't read this book. He refers to the season of life that we are finding ourselves in as the kingdom of noise. The kingdom of noise. And what we firstly think of and what we are referring to here is stuff like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and TikTok. It's noise because they never shut up. Nah? Right? Listen, just a cell phone is noisy. Nah? Access to world news, promotions, entertainment, specials, people phoning you. You've won. You can... I've won so many hundreds of thousands, but I must always phone them. What's up with that? Why could I? Hey, Meneer Meyer, you've won. Just watch your bank. No, I must first... In any case, our cell phones buzzing continually, WhatsApp and Telegram messages and all these things coming. I dare you, when your phone goes bzzz, or ping, or brrr, or quick, whatever it does, try and ignore it for 10 minutes. Nah? Without getting a twitch in your eye. Because you all go like, what was that message? I wonder. Listen, if you're having your quiet time, if you're trying to tithe your 10% to the Lord, put your phone somewhere you won't hear it buzzing. It will already revolutionize your life. But when he's speaking of this kingdom of noise, he's actually also referring to the effects that this world is having us and causing us to be unable to be silent or reflective. So there's this continual noise that's around us, and we simply can't get to a space where we are actually just quiet. I think it's why I love the bush so much, especially if there's no cell phone reception. It's because there's nothing. I feel like I can just see and hear God a lot better. You know how much I long for that? To be out there more often, because in this concrete jungle, everything screams for attention the whole time. You know, even if I'm in my house, my eye goes, because I see that crack and I've got to fix that thing. And so even that noise is driving me. Chris, ons moet braai. So dat ons probleme kan bespreek. Nee, okay. So this kingdom of noise is something we need to deal with. And we see Jesus taking time to withdraw from the crowd. In Luke 5, verse 15 to 16, he says this, but now even more, the report about him went abroad. So news about Jesus is spreading. Everybody's going like, we need to be where Jesus is. They are pursuing them, they're chasing him, okay? And great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. Can you imagine that pressure now? You know, in today's day and age, if that's a preacher, you will see security guards around him just trying to get people away from him. So he's having that kind of scenario where people are, you know, never mind what he wants to do. Maybe he just wants to have a cup of coffee. I've got an infirmity. You need to pray. Okay, so the crowds are coming around him. They want to be prayed for, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So what is Jesus modeling here? That there's a priority to withdraw. You can go look at Luke 4 verse 42 and 6 verse 12. Where we see the same stuff where Jesus is actually withdrawing very deliberately to spend time with his Father. To get away from the pressures and the things, the noise. Okay? He did not have cell phones, but man did he have crowds. We do not have crowds, but we've got crowds in our cell phones. Okay? So like Jesus, we need to withdraw from the noise. To be quite honest, we'll probably say, I don't have time for it. No? Yeah. Probably your first thing, if you think, I must withdraw to desolate places, you're like, have you seen my calendar? Where must I now fit this in? Nah? You know, it can be as simple as just the park next to you, just walking there. No one else, just you and Jesus. You don't have to go to the Tankwa Karoo to find solitude. You can find it here too. So the third key that we're looking at this morning, in order to redeem the time, is this: withdraw from the kingdom of noise. Very deliberately. It's something that you and I think, face more when I was younger. I mean, you know, email wasn't even there. Email was supposed to make our lives simpler. Now it's making it more busy. Now we have WhatsApp. So we feel like we need to be in 24/7 communication. If you're going to WhatsApp me at 2 in the morning, I'm not going to reply. Good luck. All right? Because I have boundaries. Enough is enough. I want to sleep. Any case. So we need to withdraw from this kingdom of noise. The reality is, it's going to be difficult. Now it's something you have to deliberately do, and it's going to be counter-culture. So it's going to be difficult, but I can tell you, it's going to be worth it. You need to establish and look at what's currently hindering you from hearing God's voice, and it might be the noise, the stuff that's keeping you busy. The actual fact is, until you withdraw from the noise, you might not even realize what is hindering you until you get in His presence and He goes like, oh, but that is the problem. Get rid of that thing. And then suddenly you go like, wow, now I have time. So withdraw from the kingdom of noise. Psalm 46:10 says this: be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say, gooi a party to listen to me. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. You know, I sometimes do this in small group when I, after worship or something, I'll just keep quiet and wait. And it's funny how that freaks people out. You know, suddenly people get twitchy. It's like there's something wrong with them. You know, of course we should do something. You know, should we not pray now? No. Shh. Just wait. Because in that silence, God often speaks the loudest. And so for some of us, just keeping quiet is a challenge. Which makes it true that we have become so used to the kingdom of noise that we cannot get to that place of solitude and just be silent before Him. So if we start looking at what our fourth key is, let's read Mark 1 verse 37 to 39. And they said, and they found Him and said to Him, everyone is looking for you. Again, everyone is looking for Jesus. And He said to them, let us go unto the next towns, that I might preach there also, for that is why I came. And He went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So now we have this scenario again. This time He's not withdrawing to solitude. He's withdrawing in a different way. Many are seeking Him. Listen, just think of the pressure He's under here. He's been sent by His Father. He can heal people, deliver them, etc., etc. People are coming. Is this not why He's here? To see the sick healed and restored and everything? Is it good for Him to pray for people? Yes. But He's got these things that are competing for His time. And we see something significant here. In actual fact, you know, Jesus went through this earth, you know, with all those kind of pressures. And if you look at Scripture in this way, you suddenly realize, man, He had some pressures on Him and on His time. Especially from people at the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all those guys that were continually on His case. But He made it look easy to just handle all that stress, all that pressure. Why? Because under all of it, he had a sense of purpose that he was pursuing. He wasn't just random. Jesus understood why he was here. And he was pursuing that. That understanding of why he was here influenced his decision making. Influenced the things what he said yes for. Okay? He didn't allow the demands of the day or the crowds to lead him. He didn't just respond to the pressures of the day. He had a purpose which governed his decision making. He was gentle and he was loving, but with his purpose in mind. So it wasn't just random. He had a purpose, he had a reason why the Father sent him here, and he pursued that. So was healing people important? Absolutely. Was delivering them from demonic oppression? Absolutely. Was even time with his family important? For seker. But he said yes to a bigger purpose. A bigger yes than all of these things. And we see it in John 17 verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. His purpose was to finish the work of the Father that He sent us. You know, we go to work, we do all sorts of different things, but do we do it with that sense of purpose, why God has placed me in this place, in that workplace? Is it about getting the deadlines done? Or is it about His purpose, His call for you in that arena? You know, your family, your friends, everything that you're engaging. We see Jesus doing all these things. You know, when he had supper with his disciples, it was, I'm sure it was a great time, but he always came back to that sense of purpose, finishing the work of the Father. You know, he had 3 years to raise the disciples, to train them, equip them, and then he left. So he had a sense of purpose which he had to accomplish and do at that time. So our fourth key is prioritize what you say yes to. So we've said, you know, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. But prioritize what you say yes to. Understanding and knowing the call of God on your life. What God is calling you, what His purpose for you is. What He wants to do with your life. Let your kingdom purpose direct your decisions. Now, Kobus, that's difficult. Are you nuts? You see, that's why it starts with the Word. That's why it starts with Jesus. Because the more I spend with Him, the more time I'm in His presence, the more I'll get a sense of the purpose and the call of my life. And it will be easy to walk in it. It's easy to say no to stuff. Practice with me now. No. Yes, it's no. It's a very difficult word. It's Greek. It's still no. You know, I've done this whole thing of burnout. You know, who's done burnout? Don't do burnout. It's not a lucky place to be. Skip that thing. But I've done that. But the one thing that I've taken away from burnout, because before burnout it was yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, sure, Pastor, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I did anything and everything. And then when that happened, when I recovered, no became an option. Which for someone like me that is servant motivated is difficult. One of the biggest challenges for me, even leading this congregation, is not to do everything. Because I would love to do it. I just want to do it. Just let me do it. I just want to do it. I'll do everything. But it's no saying no to myself. Stop it. Give it to someone else. Maar hulle gaan nie so goeie job doen soos ek nie. Just give it away. Just, it's okay. Deal with your OCD. It's fine. None of you have that problem. So, we've been called by God for a purpose. If you don't know what it is, you know, I've seen God reveal it as time goes on. I had a sense of purpose, but even as I've grown, that has become so much clearer. So I want you to pursue God. Prioritize what you say yes to and understand what the purpose of God is for your life. And then key number five, the last one for this morning. It says this, accept your unipresence. Yes, it's a groot woord. Yeah, I can do big words too. Accept your unipresence. And when I read this the first time, I was like, it's a word I didn't know exist. But we understand that God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere at the same time. He can just do this. And with technology and the noise that we have in our lives, we have come to the conclusion that we can be everywhere at the same time. That is the illusion that is actually presented to us. You can be in control of everything. You know, you've got your diary that bleeps. You've got your WhatsApps and your emails and everything coming on your phone. You can handle it all, man. You can do this. I've got news for you. It is untrue that you can be everywhere at the same time. You know why? Because you are not God. I think you need to settle that in your heart. Okay? You didn't make the cut. He is God. He is omnipresent. You are not. And for that reason, even just prioritizing your yes is important. Because you cannot be everywhere. We need to accept this fact. That we cannot be all things to all men the whole time. All right? And we see this when Jesus came to the earth. And he let his omnipresence go. Step into a human body. He faced the same challenge. He put on that unipresence where he can only be at one place at the same time. I would love to have a conversation with him and say, Jesus, was that frustrating? Because now you're God, you're everywhere and everywhere. Now you're in this human form and you can only be in one place at one time. Can you imagine if he knew what was going on in the world, the sense of, I would just want to get there. My children. And just love on them. And yeah, you can just be in this place. Sure. So in that place, Jesus had to deal with the frequent distractions that came his way. Do you have distractions that come your way? Nah? It is a problem. If you haven't noticed, it is. You are doing one thing. And then another thing comes. And he goes like, excuse me, I want your attention. Excuse me. You're like, shut up, I'm busy with this thing. No, I need your attention. Distractions. Okay? In Mark 10 verse 17, we see a man, Jesus is on his way, and this man comes and he falls in front of him and he says, what do I need to do to be saved? I mean, I'm going there now. This is an important thing. So Jesus, you know, but this is not where he was going. Okay? In Mark 5, 27 to 30, we see Jesus walking through the crowds, and this woman touches him, the hem of his garment, and is healed, and he has to stop everything to attend to her. He was actually on a mission. Distraction. Luke 5, verse 17. He's busy teaching in a house. He's having an amazing time. Suddenly they rip open the roof and they let the guy through the roof on a bed. Now imagine this happening in a conference. We're having this awesome conference and the next moment people are ripping over the roof and there's the lame coming down. People will go, this is not working for us. We paid to be here. There's no freebies. Please pull him up. But he had to deal with these things. He had to work through it. You need to discern and work with God through these things. And obviously we see incredible miracles happening right there. Sometimes he welcomed those distractions. Other times he said, listen, I don't need this distraction in my life. And one of them is where Jesus is busy teaching and they come and they say, listen, your family's outside. Now, how many of us, if they call you and say your family's outside, you will drop everything and go? Jesus goes, mm-mm. distraction right now that I don't need. Those here are my family, not those there. And it's tough. Where he chooses at that moment the purpose which God is calling him to do right there instead of just responding to the family that is out there. He doesn't say, you know, God first, family second, work third. At that moment, he goes, I'm busy teaching now. Please hold. He was present in that moment, busy with what the Father wants him to do. So I think sometimes, even in our journey to redeem the time, in our walk before God, if we can just receive the fact that we are unipresent, that I can only be here, and to make the most of that moment, our lives will probably change a lot. We will be a lot less rushed. When we deal with the distractions, when we say no to the distractions, in a nice way, but we say no. You know, so many people in the corporate world is overworked and, I guess, underpaid sometimes. But they're overworked because they are doing four people's jobs. And I tell you, when you say no, there's chaos. But I think we need to understand the purposes of God even in that company. Understand what God is calling us to. And trust God that until He's done with us there, I will not be removed. And to lovingly prioritize your yeses. Deal with your own unipresence. In that you can only do what you can do. I think families will be so much healthier if people stop taking work home. If the work again ends at 5 and family starts there. And the work starts at 8 or 9 or whatever you start. But between that, it's family time. And where a weekend again is a weekend and a holiday is a holiday. Where you do stuff. That you can actually not just reconnect with your family, but even just recuperate and meet with Jesus on your holiday. Okay? So saints, God is, I believe His desire for us at this time is to redeem the time. We've only got so much. He's not caught off guard with where we find ourselves, and He wants to do incredible things. So if I could just conclude this morning and say this, if we want to do our best work for God and for those He loves, we must fight for the quiet places. Take some time. Walk away from some stuff. Get to that place of solitude. Reflect on that which God is calling you to. Understand His voice. Hear His voice. Get to a place where you can think and reflect on what He's speaking to you and even just on your life and to hear what God is saying to you. And prioritize your yes. Prioritize your yes and let your kingdom purpose direct you. Let your kingdom purpose, and like I say, if you don't know that, it starts with knowing the Father. Starts with time with Him. And then accept your unipresence. Be in the moment. Focus on what God is calling you to do. You see, I wear this T-shirt. This is now the second Sunday. And by the way, I will conclude this series after the men's camp. Die manne gaan weg. All right? So for the men that's not going on the camp yet, come. Right? Let your wives go. For a weekend. But we're going to have an awesome time next week with the men. And Laurette's going to be preaching. And she's going to have fun here with the ladies. And understand there's a ladies tea and stuff happening. Any case. Do you also not know? Okay, cool stuff. But let's pursue what God wants for our lives at this time. In this noisy kingdom that we find ourselves at the moment, take some time. Get rid of the noise. Simplify your noise. Even in your noise, let your yes be weighted to what you say yes to. Get rid of the distractions that is causing you to run around frantically. And you will see a beauty and an amazingness of the love of God just flowing through you. You know, you will actually probably have time to minister to people again, just if you slow down a bit. If God orders your day, if He instructs you in the way that you should go, our days will look different. Amen? We will see another life. I'm sure of it. By the way, I'm growing in this as you are growing. I'm also challenged by this, because here's the reality. I face the same noise as you. I can though say I've become fairly good at ignoring this thing. And I'm loving it. It's making things a bit simpler. If I don't answer you directly, I'll answer you later. Please hold. Shall we pray?